Set Free Ministry team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Set Free team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need, building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders, and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Climie.
All right, we are continuing in our study of Job. Just a real quick recap. We have a man who is doing his very best to live for God. Just a person like you and I. Has a bunch of kids. Unlike you and I, has untold wealth and has everything that the world has to offer. But in addition to that, he has God. And he is worshiping God. He's giving up sacrifices every day. He is really and truly dedicating his life for God. And then all of a sudden, everything that he has is stripped away from him. In just a moment, everything is gone. And as he's suffering the loss of all of these things, then he also becomes very ill. And the Bible says that he was covered from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet with these big boils. And so he has lost everything, even his health. And he doesn't know it, but there is something that's going on behind the scenes. There is a spiritual battle that is going on. There was a challenge to God from Satan himself. A challenge that said the only reason that Job serves you is because you have blessed him so much. And God says, devil, you are so wrong. And to prove how wrong you are, I'm going to let you take everything that he has from him. And then again, Satan comes back and God just rubs Satan's nose in it. He says, look at what you have done to my servant Job, and still he's worshiping me. And Satan says, yes, but if you let me take his health from him. And so that's all the stuff that's going on behind the scenes. Job knows nothing about this except what he is experiencing. And there's a lesson in that for you and I. We may not understand what's going on. But folks, when the going gets rough, we need to go to God.
Amen.
Amen. That's when we need to embrace, to cling to not let loose of the promises of God. How many of us remember when our children or maybe our grandchildren were little, especially you guys out there, and how the kids would come and sit on your foot? Remember that? And they would just hold on to your leg with everything they had, and they would just, you know, you would try to walk around a little bit, and the little goomers are just laughing and giggling and carrying on, and they're riding on grandpa's foot or whatever the case may be. And they would hang on. Man, you might fall flat on your face, but they're still hanging on. You know, that's what we need to do to the promises of God's Word. We need to hang on. That's why we have the scripture reading every Sunday, because those are the promises of God's Word. And God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he should repent or change his mind. Has he not said it, and shall he not do it? Amen? And so we need to learn to cling to those promises of God's Word. Unfortunately for Job, he didn't have a Bible. He just had tradition that had been handed down to him from generation to generation, but still he hung in there and he was serving God. And as his friends would come and accuse him of being the vilest of sinners, because after all, God would never allow something like this to happen to somebody who was faithful. And so his friends, in just like in a broadside from a battleship, just one after another, they would just pound him. Job, confess. Job, you have to confess. It's obvious that you're such a great sinner. And so Job's going through all of this, and his friends are accusing him. And he thinks back of a few months earlier when his wife came up and said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" And I imagine that there were several times during this ordeal that Job was saying, "That may not be a bad idea. Let's just get it over with." But he hung in there, and he justified himself. Well, then God shows up. And God is just a little bit put out with Job's friends. He's going to deal with them a little bit later. But right now, God needs to show Job that Job isn't the know-it-all that he thinks that he is. And we many times find ourselves in a situation where, you know, if I had my way, this is how I would do it. And many of you that have been with us as we've been traveling have heard me say, just make me emperor for a year. Just make me emperor for a year. And I will fix all the troubles of this United States. I don't want to be king. I don't want to be president. Just make me emperor with absolute power, because I know what needs to be done to fix things up, just like Job was saying. And so God shows up and says, "Job, you don't know quite as much as you think you do. You know, you've heard me talk about growing up on the farm." And for those of you who have heard this story, please hang in there for the benefit of those who haven't. But our family was, one side of the family was the city side, and the other side was the farm side, the countryside. And those of us that lived in town were Lutheran, and those on the farm were Catholic. And so I was ecumenical even before, you know, ecumenical was a word. And the first day of summer, all of the boys were shipped off to the farm to work the farm. And we just got in there with our cousins and the others that, you know, grew up on the farm, and we worked side by side. We played side by side, and we got in trouble side by side. Got whooped side by side. then when it's time to go back to school, we would all go back to the city, us city kids. And it was then in our family that we got our new school clothes. How many of you got your new shoes in the fall? Did you? Okay, a lot of us, we'd get your new shoes in the fall, and you'd get a couple pairs of pants and a couple shirts. Of course, in our family, the pants and the shirts were compliments of my mother and her Singer sewing machine, but that was fine. She was an adept seamstress, but boy, we loved those new shoes. And I remember one time we went back to the farm after we had gotten our new school shoes, and for some reason, my brother and I were wearing our new shoes, and we knew better than that. There's no place on the farm for wearing new shoes, and it was time to cut the cattle for show, because we participated in the fair every fall. And so my brother Steve and I, we went up there, and we were doing what Mama told us to: don't you mess up those shoes. Yes, ma'am. And so we're sitting on the side of the cattle pen, and we're watching my uncle and my two cousins try to cut the cattle out of the herd that we're going to load onto the trailer and take to the fair. And it wasn't a three-man job. And so as my uncle became more and more frustrated, he yelled at my brother and I, "Get down off that fence and get out here and help us with this." And so, all right, good, we're there, you know. And so we're helping cut the cattle, and you're not going to fair, but this one is. And so they go down this little chute and onto the trailer, and so there would be a lull in the activities, and my uncle would look over at us, and there we are standing there in our new school shoes with cow manure up to our knees. And my uncle would, "What are you doing? Your mother's going to kill me. Get back up on that fence." So we'd get back up on the fence until they became overwhelmed again. And then, "What are you doing on that fence? get back down here and help us with these cows. And so it was too late anyhow. We had already baptized those shoes good. And long story short, my uncle was dealing with the pressures of the present. On one hand, he had my mother that nobody wanted to contend with, all right? And so you stay up there on that fence and take care of those new shoes. On the other hand, he had to get these cattle separated and off to the fair. And so he was trying to do two things, and he wasn't really successful at either. Well, he was successful in getting the cattle in the trailer. However, as I said, our shoes needed a lot of work once we got home. And that is the situation that God is trying to show Job. It says, Job, you're just working with what you see here at the moment. And you don't understand all that's going on. At this point, God hasn't even revealed that there was a challenge between him and Satan. And so you can read along as I read Job chapter 40, verses 1 through 8. And this is a continuation of God's response to Job in the inside page of your bulletin. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, "Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it." And then Job answered the Lord and said, "Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further." Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Gird up thy loins now like a man, and I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me, wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me that thou mightest be righteous?" And so God is addressing Job here and saying, "Job, you've been lipping off quite a bit, saying how you've been treated unfairly and unjustly. You've accused me, Job, and you're not going to be able to weasel out of it." He says, "Gird up your loins. It's time to stand like a man. You're not going to be able to hide on the judgment day." Amen? And now you're going to have to answer for what you have said. And God is trying to show Job that compared to the infinite wisdom and knowledge that God has, Job has nothing. We talked about this last week, how there's just our knowledge, our wisdom, it just doesn't exist compared to God. And God then boils it all down, and he says, "Wilt thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous?" In other words, he's saying, you're trying to justify your own actions, Job. You're trying to make yourself look righteous, and in the process, you're condemning me. You're perverting my word. You're trying to pervert who I am before your friends and before your family and before all of these people. You're trying to pervert what I am and what I do so that you can appear righteous. And we're sitting in our seats today saying, well, who would be foolish enough to do that? And I can answer it with one hyphenated word, mankind. Is that not what we do? Is that we try to pervert the Word of God so that we can appear righteous. We see it throughout our society where sin is now called a lifestyle decision, where people who are have chosen a lifestyle of drugs and drunkenness, it's not now a sin, but it's a sickness. It's a disease, and they cannot help themselves. Where we take the ending of the life of an unborn child and we change the nomenclature around. This is not a child, this is just a product of conception. So we're changing what is righteous so that we can appear to be in the right. And it's important for us to understand that God's word doesn't change. Amen? We need to be willing to take a stand for God's word. Now, some of you know that I do a little bit of work with the Civil Air Patrol and with the United States Air Force, and also our the active duty chaplains that we pray for, Captain Javon Seaborn and Lieutenant Stephen Roop. They are part of our oversight in the military. And our chaplains are being told that, no, what is right is if two people of the same gender want to get married, you have to perform the ceremony. If somebody comes along, you can't, and they ask you about Jesus or about salvation, you cannot tell them that salvation is through Jesus Christ. You can't tell them these things. Even to the point now where at the Air Force Academy, they have provided the school, the government, us, have provided a grotto so that the Wiccans can have their little services at the United States Air Force Academy. And all of this is done in the name of political correctness. This is the politically correct thing to do. And so my chaplains have come to me and they've told me this is what we are being pressured to do. And we've talked about this and I've said, you know, guys, we in the contract that you have with us, marriage is between a male and a female. Salvation is through the spilt blood of Jesus Christ. Forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. Prayer in the name of Jesus. And so these guys have gone back and they've told those that are higher up in the chaplain's corps, we can't do what you are telling us to do. And so far, our chaplains have not been dismissed. Our chaplains have been able to stand tall and proclaim the Word of God. But they'll never promote. Lieutenant Stephen Roop will always be Lieutenant Stephen Roop. Captain Javon Seaborn will always be Captain Javon Seaborn, because that's how they punish you when you go against the flow in the military. All right, but these men have decided we're going to stay true to the Word of God. We are not going to be politically correct so that we can justify ourselves and look good in the eyes of others. And that is the message that God had for Job. You have to stand on my word. You can't blame me and try to justify yourself by saying that I have changed the rules or I am inequitable or whatever it is. You have to trust in me at all times. And that's where we are today. When things get rough, and there's none of us that have gone through what Job has gone through, but we need to cling to the promises of God. Just like those little children would cling to my leg and to my foot, and then somebody else would see that as, oh, that looks like a good idea. Now I got two of them. All right. And I think even at one time I had one on one foot and two on the other foot. And needless to say, I didn't get very far, but these little kids were just hanging on for everything that they had and laughing and giggling because, you know, they're doing something with Grandpa. In the same way, we just need to be hanging on. When the going gets rough, hang on all the more to the promises of God's Word. Amen? Yes. The promises of God's Word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but thy Word, O God, abideth forever. Amen? Father, thank you.
Morning comes, another day. Time doesn't wait, it doesn't stay. You have a choice you must make. How will you face it all? Life just winds like a mountain road. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Good or bad, nobody knows. Will you choose to stand or fall? Just when you choose to take it on, the waves stop and the sea goes calm. Lie down to rest your mind. Here comes the rain. Yeah, welcome to the shine.